Yes, praise be to God. I hope you're safe. I hope the Lord has kept you safe and sound. This is a day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and we shall be glad in it. Thank you for joining us for our study of the Bible. Here we study the Bible and we aim to study from the book of Genesis to Revelation by the grace of God. We've done 23 books of the Bible. If you've not been able to listen to the podcast we've done straight from the book of Genesis, you can find them on our app, that's Bible In-Depth Network, all on all podcast platforms. You can be able to find them, that is Spotify, Stitcher, Deezer, Podbean, Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, name it, you will find us there. And I believe the Lord shall speak to you as you listen, because there is no limitation to revelation. Like we always say, God reveals his word to everybody who shows the need, for everyone who believes in the Lord, for everyone who the Lord has given his Holy Spirit. He can speak to you and he can reveal his word to you. We started the book of Jeremiah, and right now we've done 8 chapters. Today I want us to continue with chapter 9 of the book of Jeremiah. Remember, he's a prophet, he's a young man that God has sent to speak to Israel, to Judah, concerning their lives, their actions, and the judgment that is coming. And for the 8 chapters we've read so far is total condemnation. What they've done, how they've taken the Lord for granted, how he's not happy, and he's telling them of what is coming upon them for the lack of reverence for the God who took them out of Egypt and brought them to a land that flows with milk and honey. Today we'll start with chapter 9, which starts by saying, "Oh, that my head were waters, and my eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughters of my people. Oh, that I had in the desert a wayfarer's lodging place, that I might leave my people and go from them. For all of them are adulterers, an assembly of treacherous men. They bend their tongue like their bow. Lies and not truth prevail in the land, for they proceed from evil to evil, and they do not know me, declares the Lord." Now, we've seen this numerous times in this book, really, talking about the life that Israel lives. Yeah, they are adulterers, they are treacherous men, they lie, they never speak the truth, they proceed from evil to evil. There is no moment of truth. There is no moment of righteousness in their land. They proceed from evil to evil, and they advance in evil. Yeah? And he climaxes it here in this verse saying, they do not know me. Now, for you to live a life that is wicked is clear representation of your lack of knowledge for God. For you to live a life without reverence for God is clear indication that you do not know God. Because those who know God clearly understand how he works. Those who know God do the things that he tells them to do. Those who know God are aware and know what God requires of them. Yeah? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 34 tells us, "Awake to righteousness and sin not. For some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame." When you have no knowledge of God, you live a life that is sinful. You're not awakened to righteousness. Good things don't touch you, but rather it's the evil ones that attract you. So, how do we get the knowledge of God? You cannot know God in the proper way that you ought to know him when you don't awaken to righteousness. When you don't go for the things of God, when you don't decide to take a turn and repent and follow God, because God shall reveal himself to those that have interest in him, to those that give him reverence, to those that really show him their attention. So, for all these who have done these several things we've read about here, God says, they do not know me. And he goes on and says, "Let everyone be on guard against his neighbor, and do not trust any brother, because every brother deals craftily and every neighbor goes about as a slanderer. Everyone deceives his neighbor and does not speak the truth. They have taught their tongue to speak lies. It's like they've gone to class, a class that teaches how to lie. Have you ever met somebody who is a good liar? Like they've attended lectures on lying. It's like these Israelites they're talking about here. They've taught their tongue to speak lies. Yeah, they practice what they will say. And you know that you're going to meet somebody, and probably what is required of you is not in check. So you prepare your lie. You even sleep over it and rehearse it so that the next day when you're speaking the lie, it is fluent and fluid for you that they will believe it. Now that is the kind here that they taught their tongues to speak lies. They weary themselves committing iniquity. Your dwelling is in the midst of deceit. Through deceit, they refuse to know me, declares the Lord. They even make a decision out of lies to refuse to know God. What lies have been spread about God? What lies have been spread about creation? What lies have been spread about the one that blesses you? When they tell you it is your old great-great-grandfathers and their spirits that bless you. Yeah? Lies that have been spread in deceit that you do not know God. Yeah? And this is the kind, because they took after other gods, and to them, with that deceit, they refused deliberately to know the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, behold, I will refine them and assay them. For what else can I do because of the daughter of my people? Their tongue is a deadly arrow. It speaks deceit. With his mouth, one speaks to his neighbor, but inward he sets an ambush for him. He's smiling, yet on the inside he's ready to destroy. He's smiling as he's greeting you, yet on the inside he's planning how to kill you. That's what's happening with these people. Shall I not punish them for these things, declares the Lord? On a nation such as this, shall I not avenge myself? For the mountains I'll take up a weeping and a wailing, and for the pastures of the wilderness a dirge, because they are laid waste so that no one passes through, and the lowing of the cattle is not heard. Both the birds of the sky and the beasts have fled, they have gone away. By the time animal life leaves a place, you know trouble is coming. We are told of the tsunami that happened years ago that animals fled the area. They fled and they knew that trouble was coming. They knew that waters were coming and they fled. And it's amazing how that happens. But it's the same thing here, the picture we get here, because the message coming to them is there are no cattle, the birds run, the beasts flee. They leave the place, they are gone because trouble is coming. I will make Jerusalem a heap of ruins, a haunt of jackals, and I'll make the cities of Judah a desolation without inhabitant, a place that once had life, a place that once had joy. Because of the decision they make to refuse to know God, because of a decision they make to go against God, he decides to make them a desolation, a place of ruin. Yeah, that's what Israel put itself into. Who is the wise man that he may understand this? And who is he to whom the mouth of the Lord has spoken that he may declare it? Why is the land ruined, laid to waste like a desert, so that no one passes through? The Lord says, because this is the reason. They have forsaken my law, which I set before them, and have not obeyed my voice, nor walked according to it, but have walked after the stubbornness of their heart and after the bowels, and as their fathers taught them. Therefore, says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I'll feed them, these people, with wormwood and give them poisoned water to drink. I'll scatter them among the nations whom neither they nor their fathers have known, and I'll send the sword after them until they have been annihilated. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider and call for the mourning women, that they may come, and send for the wailing women, that they may come, Let them make haste and take up a wailing for us, that our eyes may shed tears and our eyelids flow with water, for a voice is wailing, a voice of wailing is heard from Zion. How are we ruined? We are put to great shame, for we have left the land because they've cast down our dwellings. Now, does a God of love make such decisions? That's a big debate today. How does a gracious God take his people through trouble? And it's a big discussion with people saying a God of love does not judge. A God of love cannot send people to hell. But we need to learn to read scripture and interpret it in the way that it speaks. This book that we are reading is in the Bible. And if it was irrelevant, it wouldn't probably have been added there. And people say, no, you disregard the Old Testament. It's the New Testament that speaks love. But even in the New Testament, there is judgment that is spoken by a God of love, that it will come. So, I do not take the grace for granted and walk the way I want and hurt people all the way I want and speak lies and do all the evil that can be done in the world and still say that God shall not judge me. He is telling the people of Israel here that because you've made a decision, you don't obey my commandments, you don't listen to my voice, and somebody will say, has God ever spoken to me? Check the Bible. There he is, he speaks to you every day. We choose whether to listen to him every day or not. We choose to make a decision of whether we will read the word and hear what God is telling us or not. Listening from God is not rocket science. You read the word, you study, you ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you, and he will speak to you. That's God himself that is speaking to you. And here, we are learning about the issue of Israel, that when he would speak, they would not listen. What has the Spirit spoken to you that you do not listen? That is key for me to know, because when I refuse and I keep in my evil life, then I am prone to the judgment, just like these people of Israel did. And he goes on and says, now hear the word of the Lord, O you women, and let your ear receive the word of his mouth. Teach your daughters wailing, and everyone her neighbor a dirge, for death has come up through our windows. It has entered our palaces to cut off the children from the streets, the young men from the town squares. Speak thus, says the Lord, the corpses of men will fall like dung on the open field, and like the sheaf after the reaper. But no one will gather them, thus says the Lord. Let not a wise man boast of his wisdom, and let not the mighty man boast of his might. Let not a rich man boast of his riches, but let him who boasts boast of this. Listen, they are saying, don't boast because you're wise. You are the first in your class all the time. You're the one who comes with the best ideas at work. They call you the think tank for them. Don't boast in that. And they're saying, don't boast in your might, that you're known all over the world. Don't boast in your riches, that you have everything, that you do not lack. They are saying, let the person who boasts boast of this. This is it. That he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who exercises loving kindness. I'm the Lord who exercises justice and righteousness on the earth. For I delight in these things, declares the Lord. What do you boast in? You boast in the knowledge of the Lord. And the knowledge of the Lord is accessed through people that awaken righteousness in them and walk in righteousness and do the things of God. Those are the ones that need to boast. Of course, not coming out and saying, I'm the most righteous of all. No. But he's saying, within you, if you understand me, then you should be glad. And he says, behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, that I'll punish all who are circumcised yet uncircumcised. Now this is talking about Egypt and Judah, and Edom and the sons of Ammon, and Moab and all those inhabiting the desert who clip their hair on their temples. For all the nations are uncircumcised, and all the house of Israel are uncircumcised of heart. Of course, he's not talking about the physical one here. He's talking about the one on the heart that we read of. That one where you need to do all the things that honor God. It tells us in Romans chapter 2:28, for he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. Yeah, but he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. Those are the ones that we're talking about. That's the circumcision you're talking about, the one of the heart, the transformation of the heart. That's what God is looking at for these people. Yes, they would go and do all the processes. Eighth day, you take the kid, this circumcised and all anything that is done. God has considered us, but he's looking for the heart. He's looking for the purity of the heart. And that's what he's saying of the house of Israel, that they are uncircumcised of heart. They are boasting about the physical one, but he's looking at the heart. What is your heart like? Is it filled with love, or it's filled with hatred? Is it filled with love, or it's filled with other things? Chapter 10. Hear the word which the Lord speaks to you, O house of Israel. Thus says the Lord. Do not learn the way of the nations, and do not be terrified by the signs of the heavens, although the nations are terrified by them. For the customs of the people are delusion, because it is wood cut from the forest, the work of the hands of the craftsman with a cutting tool. They decorate it with silver and gold. They fasten it with nails, with hammers, so that it will not totter. Like a scarecrow in a cucumber field are they, and they cannot speak. They must be carried because they cannot walk. Do not fear them, for they do no harm, nor can they do any good. People go out and make idols. Idols that don't speak. They can't walk. And you have a living God whom you replace with such a formation. And he goes on here and says that there is none like you, O Lord. You are great, and your name is great and mighty. Who would not fear you, O King of nations? Indeed, it is your due. For among all the wise men of the nations and in all their kingdoms, there is no one like you. But they are together, altogether stupid and foolish. There are some ones you find in the Bible and wonder, am I reading? Yes. This is the Bible, it's there. In their discipline of delusion, their idol is wood, beaten. Silver is brought from Tarshish, and gold from Ufaz, the work of a craftsman and of the hands of a goldsmith. Violet and purple are their clothing. They are all the work of skilled men, but the Lord is the true God. They don't get things from Tarshish and offers and gold to place around him so that he receives his might. No, for him he is a great God, a true God. He is the living God, the everlasting King. At his wrath the earth quakes, and the nations cannot endure his indignation. Thus you shall say to them, the gods that did not make the heavens and the earth will perish from the earth and from under the heaven. If there is any other God that you know of that has been spoken of in the world today, and he is not the Almighty God, the one who made the heavens and the earth, this is a message. They will all perish. Doesn't matter how much following they have and how many people follow them and put them in their houses and their shops. They will all perish. That is clear. We read it from the Bible. And it says, it is he who made the earth by his power, who established the world by his wisdom, and by his understanding he has stretched out the heavens. When he utters his voice, there is tumult of waters in the heavens, and he causes the clouds to ascend from the end of the earth. He makes lightning for the rain, and brings out the wind from his storehouses. Did you know that the winds have a storehouse where they come from? Yeah, Well, it's here. Verse 14. Every man is devoid of knowledge. Every goldsmith is put to shame by his idols. For his molten images are deceitful, and there is no breath in them. They are worthless, a work of mockery. Those things that people have made in shrines, giving you to take to your home, put in your office, we are told here that they are deceitful. There is no breath in them. They are worthless. They are a mockery. Throw them out of your house. They are worthless. They are a mockery. Throw them out of your office. Take them out of your business. They are worthless. They are a mockery. That thing that does not speak. That thing that does not move. That thing that is lifeless. That which has even been made by the creations of God himself. He's the one who made the gold, the silver, the wood, and gods have been crafted out of that. And you're being told that will protect you. Throw it out. It is worthless. It is mockery. In the time of their punishment, they will perish. And this is a sad thing. Those that walk with them, that observe them, that pray to them, will perish alongside them. And it says, the portion of Jacob is not like this, for the maker of all is he. And Israel is the tribe of his inheritance. The Lord of hosts is his name. Pick up your bundle from the ground, you who dwell under siege. For thus says the Lord, behold, I am slinging out the inhabitants of the land at this time. I'll cause them distress, that they may be found. Woe is me because of my injury. My wound is incurable. But I said, truly this is a sickness, and I must bear it. My tent is destroyed, and all my ropes are broken. My sons have gone from me, and there is no more. There is no one to stretch out my tent or set up my curtains, for the shepherds have become, the word again comes here, stupid, and have not sought the Lord. Therefore, they have not prospered, and all their flock is scattered. When the shepherds derail, when the shepherds are not walking as God demands them, the sheep, the flock, will be scattered. The sound of a report, behold, it comes, a great commotion out of the land of the north to make the cities of Judah a desolation, a haunt of jackals. I know, O Lord, that a man's way is not in himself, nor is it in a man who walks to direct his steps. Correct me, O Lord, that with justice, not with your anger, all you bring me to nothing. Pour out your wrath on the nations that do not know you, and on the families that do not call your name. For they have devoured Jacob, they have devoured him and consumed him, and have laid waste his habitation. We shall close with chapter 11. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, hear the words of this covenant, and speak to them of Judah, and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and say to them, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, cursed is the man who does not heed the words of his covenant, which I commanded your forefathers in the days that I brought them out of the land of Egypt, from the iron furnace, saying, listen to my voice and do according to what I command you. So you shall be my people, and I'll be your God, in order to confirm the oath which I swore to your forefathers, to give them the land flowing with milk and honey, as it is this day. Then I said, amen, O Lord. And the Lord said to me, proclaim all these words to the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem, saying, instead in Jeremiah, tell them these words. Hear the words of this covenant and do them. For I solemnly warned your fathers in the day that I brought them out from the land of Egypt, even to this day, warning persistently, saying, listen to my voice. Warnings have been coming to the people of Israel straight from the days of Moses. And now they are still coming out even in the time of Jeremiah. And he's telling them, I told them, listen to my voice. Warning has been coming out to us from the time we were born. And even up today, there is a message that comes out to us, you and me, listen to my voice. Yet, the people of Israel did not obey. All inclined their ear, but walked each one in the stubbornness of his evil heart. Therefore, I brought on them all the words of this covenant, which I commanded them to do, but they did not. Then the Lord said to me, a conspiracy has been found among the men of Judah and among the inhabitants of Jerusalem. They have turned back to the iniquities of their ancestors, who refused to hear my words, and they've gone after other gods to serve them. The house of Israel and the house of Judah have broken my covenant, which I made with their fathers. Thus says the Lord, behold, I'm bringing disaster on them, which they will not be able to escape, though they cry to me. Yet I will not listen to them. You know, there comes a time when grace runs out. He's saying disaster will come and they will cry to me and I will not hear. Grace has run out. God has told somebody out there to change their life, to end a certain relationship, to leave certain groups. And by grace, each and every day, the person does not hear, but by the grace of God, he says, I'll help them, I'll keep telling them. But there comes a time when the grace runs out and you have to face the consequences of the decisions that you made, of the failure to listen to them. And that's what God is saying here. He's saying, a time will come when judgment has come upon you, Israel and Judah. And when you cry to me, I will not listen to you. Verse 12. Then the cities of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem will go and cry to the gods to whom they burn incense, but they surely will not save them in the time of their disaster. Can you imagine? After they've cried to God and is not heard, they will say, let's try these idols that we made for ourselves, but of course, as it has it, they will not answer. For your gods are as many as your cities, O Judah, and as many as the streets of Jerusalem are the altars you have set up to the shameful thing, altars to burn incense to Baal. Therefore, do not pray for these people, nor lift up a cry or prayer for them, for I will not listen when they call to me because of their disaster. He's telling Jeremiah, do not even pray for them. I will not answer. Yes, I love you, Jeremiah, but I will not answer your prayer. What right has my beloved in my house when she has done many vile deeds? Oh, God loves me. Oh, God, His grace is upon us all and He loves us so much. Here's a question. What right has my beloved, you that you say I love you, in my house when you do vile deeds? He's asking. Yes, what has it that I love you? And I've said it by my mouth that I love you. But what rights do you have in my house when your life is filled with wickedness? Christians today, by the grace, God loves us all. His grace is sufficient. He does everything for us. Then we go ahead and live wicked lives. What rights do we have as His children, the ones that He loves, when we keep on in vile deeds? This question comes back to us all. It comes back to us. And as hard as it may sound, it is truth. Can the sacrificial flesh take away from you your disaster so that you can rejoice? The Lord called your name a green olive tree, beautiful in fruit and form. With the noise of a great tumult, He has kindled fire on it, and its branches are worthless. The Lord of hosts, who planted you, has pronounced evil against you because of the evil of the house of Israel and the house of Judah, which they have done to provoke me by offering up sacrifices to Baal. And He says, moreover, the Lord made it known to me, and I knew it. Then you showed me their deeds. But I was like a gentle lamb led to the slaughter, and I did not know that they had devised plots against me, saying, let us destroy the tree with its fruit, and let us cut him off from the land of the living. Of course, Jeremiah, with all the words he was saying, they were tough, and people now were plotting for his demise. They are saying that his name be remembered no more. Jeremiah is speaking here of the plot that has been set over him for speaking, being the vessel, speaking for the Lord, and says, but O Lord of hosts, who judges rightly, who tries the feelings and the heart, let me see your vengeance on them. For to you Have I committed my cause? Therefore, thus says the Lord concerning the men of Anathoth, who seek your life, saying, do not prophesy in the name of the Lord, so that you would not die at our hand. Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, behold, I am about to punish them. The young men will die by the sword, their sons and daughters will die by famine, and a remnant will not be left to them, for I bring disaster on them, the men of Anathoth, the year of their punishment. God is telling Jeremiah, don't worry, I'll protect you. They will not touch you. They will not kill you, but rather, disaster shall come upon them. God protects his people. God protects those who do his work, who do his will. And when the enemy plots against you, God comes out to fight for you. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word today. And we pray that you continue helping us to walk with you and help us change and transform our lives for the better. And may we awaken to righteousness for your sake. We exalt you and give you glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.